Okay, Sparks. Hello, mate. We're back having a bit of a chat. We're a little bit into the podcast now. How are you finding it still? Still a bit of a challenge for you?
I think the conversations are, but I think like I'm enjoying the process. It's not like it's not an unenjoyable thing, but there's definitely some situations where you find yourself sat there going, okay, right. This is something that I've not sat down and discussed or heard someone's experience of before, but like hugely interesting. And it's definitely, it's amazing just the amount of things and topics that are coming up that despite no matter how broad a spectrum we've got guests coming on from, how much stuff is still overlapping and lining up, and people are kind of from a completely different place but still coming with a very similar message. And
yeah, a bit of a central core message, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And also what's so nice is that it's so positive, which has been awesome.
Yeah, brilliant. I think in a way today, the little chat I wanted to have was almost bringing a bit more substance from my side in terms of how I see things and whether that has a part to play in that core message or brings a different perspective in there. And gives maybe a bit of a, I don't know, a bit of a, an identity to the podcast itself, you know. So, and before we start that, I want to just mention about the sponsor, going back to my own brand, Number One Living, fermented healthy drinks, kombucha, lots of that, water kefir too. On sale, numberoneliving.com. Head there, check it out. Gut health, holistic health, life-changing experiences, the goal with that, and really playing the full-on health and well-being game and really, really meaning it. So head there, I am 20 for 20% off, capital I, capital A-M, number 20. You add that as the promotional code for 20% off and have a look around. So yeah, as always, sponsoring the podcast. And so let's get into this one. A core thing for me, if you like, is this idea about a shift that takes place from the survivor, we mentioned this quite a lot, towards becoming more of a creator of your life, more than surviving a world out there versus creating the world inside. And that's a big, big challenge, I think. For me, growing up with that fear, there's always this ability to justify why you need to be on guard, why there's, you know, a good reason why everyone's against you, why this is a, yeah, these things could happen and this is going to be tough and all the, and absolutely true in that respect. And I've had that deeply. I recognize that survival mindset, that survival energy state hugely. Yourself, anything in that space?
Yeah, I think so. I've found myself in positions sometimes deliberately, sometimes accidentally, where you feel like you're caught in a kind of the difficult situation between I really want to be here and I really want it to go well, and this is the last place I want to be. Like now I can only see this going badly.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult place to be, because if you start to question, particularly if you've chased a passion and it's there because that's been a goal, long-term goal, and you get there and then you find yourself thinking, oh, having these doubts and questioning, should I have done this? That's a really difficult place to be. And a lot of the time, other things will go sideways and not go as well. Health, your well-being, all these things take a bit of a dip when you have these kind of almost crises of like purpose of, you know, oh, I thought this was going to be like this, but it's now I've got here and it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's, for me, that energy state, if you like, funded by doubt, funded by insecurity, funded by not really feeling, as you say, worthy of being there, deserving of being there, like you belong, all those kind of things that create this idea of maybe a sense of doom or just, for me, I guess a large part of it is worst case scenarioing. That's what the survival state feels like, is you're just looking for threats. You're looking for, you know, a reason. Okay, this is as bad as it could be. If I can work that out, then everything else above that will be okay. But that is so draining being in that state, that idea that everyone's looking at you differently. Yeah, you read into everyone's reaction, exactly what you want to see, what the energy state wants to see, that doubt, that insecurity, that insufficiency. It finds what it wants in other people's facial expressions. It finds what it wants in the silence. It finds what it wants in the outcomes. And no matter how much is going well or going to plan, it only just finds the negative so it can perpetuate itself. So it also comes with that story of this is how life is, because God, there's nothing that feels more real than reality for all of us where we are right now, I think, as I see it. And I think it's so, so powerfully convincing to be in that state. But what I guess the big opportunity here is how do you meaningfully shift it rather than continue to survive it? How do you make that quantum leap that goes, instead of getting some relief from it or getting some space or just getting just a break before the onset the following day or before, you know, the resurgence of it, you know, as soon as the next trigger kicks in, you know, when do you find that meaningful shift? So that's the big one for me. And I think that's what a lot of the podcast is looking at, is how to go somewhere deeper on the inside rather than just keep playing that game. Like you said, whether it's, I'm going to get that next thing. If I can just solve this potential threat, then I'll be okay. If I can just get that thing that's going to fill that insufficient, that's going to make me feel more deserving or make me going to belong or fit in a bit more, and then I'll stop doing this worst case scenarioing. But
I think there's like that balance and that perspective to be found. I think the danger of, like, as you said, the catastrophizing, they're always looking for what's the worst that's going to happen, is that then you'll pull back. You'll stop putting yourself out there. You'll stop recognizing some of the opportunities, and you try to bring yourself much closer to just a nice steady slap bang in the middle. Don't have massive highs, but my lows aren't too bad. Everything's comfortably safe. Yeah, exactly. But you miss so many potentially amazing experiences, but also you miss what can be learned from those dips and those lows and the learning processes and what can come from that. But also the perspective of, we're so fortunate, as you and I have spoken about, that, you know, we live in a country where we can afford to have worries and concerns about issues of this level, because the day-to-day of having somewhere to live, having somewhere to sleep, having something to eat, that's taken care of. And that where you find yourself in that hierarchy of needs, you know, it's almost to be grateful that these are the problems that we're facing, and find some like almost solace in the fact that, you know, for want of a better phrase, you know, it could be worse.
Yeah, definitely. But you mentioned those survival things. So when you're in proper physical survival, we're good survivors in those states. We're actually really effective when we got to go and look after our bodies and
what we're designed for.
Yeah, exactly. But I think for me, definitely where it came in, has come in so much for me, is there's an identification. Of myself beyond that survival need. Yeah. That my reputation is actually now a core survival need. That future plan I've got in my head is a core survival need, or that there's some sort of immense threat in, as it's been for me, some kind of humiliation, some kind of imperfection, or some sort of flaw, or some kind of break in a pattern that just feels like it's so powerful. But there's been, you know, for me, massive identification now that, you know, like you said, not having enough food can almost become the same thing as not having enough recognition. You know, you get that pang, which takes you back to that primal space of like, shit, you know, that conversation didn't go as I wanted. And we're talking about, as you said, very, very privileged things. But
yeah, same systems, same reactions, same stress hormones going into the system, that kind of chronic versus acute stress.
Yeah.
You know, in some situations, it's super useful. If you're trying to run away from a lion or stand your ground in a fight, fantastic. But if you're stuck in a traffic jam, worried about being late for a meeting, you don't really want to be chock-a-block with adrenaline and cortisol and stressing your mind out, because it doesn't serve a purpose. You're kind of trapped.
Yeah.
That's kind of like this. These old historical systems that in the body that serve a purpose, but they sometimes butt up against modern life and don't quite fit.
Yeah. And so for me, the world that we lived in that sporting sense, I get the feeling there's, as much as it looks from the outside, like there's a load of people just expressing their genius and having a great time out there on the field, like kids playing in the park and just loving it. Behind the scenes, there's a lot of that survival going on. I'm talking from my own perspective, hugely, like you said, looking for the back door out of the changing room when everyone's thinking, wow, it must be amazing to play in front of all those people and be able to play in that team and go out there and, you know, and go for it, that trophy or that, try and realize that goal and that dream. And yet, yeah, you might have a pop at that back door, actually, if it was offered to you at a certain time, or if someone came along and said, look, I can sneak you out here. We can put a doppelganger in who can go and play this for you. And you'll still get all the credit, but you just don't have to go, as you said, go and not learn those lessons, but you don't have to go and evolve and face and truly experience and engage and embrace. Yes, you'd take it and let that doppelganger get all that joy and all that stuff, and you'd be sat there in the change room. But you know what it's like when you're on the bench, whether in any, like, I guess, form of life, you know, you're looking at someone else go and do it, and beforehand you think, I don't have to worry, I'm on the bench today, I don't have to worry too much, and, you know, I don't have to start the game. But then if you don't get on when everyone else is in the change room, all you feel like is, I wish I'd been part of that. But beforehand, you don't have it. So how do you sort of make the most of the moment and have the courage to, you know, to go into that vulnerable space and still, and open up to it, I guess, is what we're talking about.
I think a lot of it is you can't expect to get it right straight away. That failing and those having those feelings and are kind of part of the process. I think there's a degree of that. Like we've had a really funny discussion where talking about when you're injured and you kind of want the team to do well, because when you come back, you want to get into a winning team, but you don't want it to do too well because you still want them to miss you not being on the pitch. And you get stuck in that weird bit where you're trying to go, I really want to be like, fulfill this role for this team, but I also want it to be able to cope without me. And you have situations where you're on the bench, or, you know, cup finals where we were lucky enough to win a couple. And if you're not involved, or you're involved up until the last minute, then all of a sudden you're not, and then you're running messages or whatever. There's that, you can be alone in a group of people and feel very, very differently. But in terms of how do you combat that, and how do you find your way into finding some joy and some beauty in even the down, the bits where you would call them, traditionally you'd call them, like, these are my low moments, or these are the downers. I think it's just having that confidence and the trust in yourself to back yourself, to just keep putting yourself out there and chip away at it, and not expect to suddenly a quantum leap and all of a sudden be super happy no matter what all the time.
Yeah. But at the base of that, there's that big, it keeps saying, energy shift, whereby when you've got that doubtful mindset, everything feeds the doubt and eventually drives you to start telling yourself that, yeah, reinforce that story of, yeah, well, I told you I'm not worthy of this. Yeah, I told you this was never going to happen for me. This always plays out. And even a case of when it does play out, I don't want to celebrate too hard because I'm not worthy of having this. And someone's going to find out, you know, imposter syndrome, I shouldn't be here. Yeah, people are going to find me out. It's all part of the energy state. So something that's been really helpful for me has been as part of this kind of identifying maybe more on a subtle level of energy, rather than here's me in a certain mindset, but to be like, as I really enjoyed hearing from a guest at the first episode I ever did of the IAM podcast, was a guy called Rupert Spira, who just said, one of the things that he said was that who we are, or how we are, or a mindset, for example, who we are doesn't have a mindset. Who we are is just a mindset. And when we shift our mindset, we shift who we are. And I look at it as mindset more as like energy, so that we are just this energy, whether it's an energy we're channeling because of how receptive we are to it, or whether we can see ourselves as just this energy. And in a certain energy, it inspires certain thoughts and feelings. And rather than try and solve those thoughts and feelings using that same energy, which comes up with answers fueled by doubt, you know, it's more a case of, well, how do I work directly on the energy state rather than working on the surface level of thoughts and feelings or what my mind's telling me is the problem? And so that's what really inspires me, because you're talking about that shift there, going from trust and confidence, but from doubt. And that shift has always felt like you can't go directly there, because if you can, it's probably not real. It's more of that just beating your chest. I can do this. I'll go out there, which, you know, is fine. But it's a bit like feeling really rough and someone saying, get your chin up. It feels really unfeeling and or uncaring, unsympathetic and lacking in compassion. Whereas that shift from that energy of really contracted and solid and gross and survival and closed, it almost just needs to relax in order to allow for the beauty. But if you try and be the beauty, it's not really the same thing. You know, going out there and saying, this is me being excited, is not being excited.
No, if you have to tell someone that you are something, there's a good chance you're not it.
Well,
but it comes back to, like, well, you remember Blackie saying this to both of us, which is, it all starts with self-talk. And it's all about that first point is, if you can be your own best teammate and support yourself, that's the perfect starting point for any of these things. Is, you know, cut yourself some slack, don't be too harsh on yourself, and be open to some opportunities. You know, so many of the guests that we've spoken to, which is one of the points I think's really stuck with me, is if you've already decided how an event, a meeting, who a person is, or anything like that, if you've already decided how that is, and you've taken that as a fact, you've just automatically taken any chance of you having an incredible experience or enjoyment or going somewhere new from whatever you've got coming next.
But that's exactly the point, though, is that survival energy, it cannot have uncertainty, unknown. So even just having that clear idea of who someone is and what they're capable of and what they're not capable of and how things are going to be and how this next phone call I'm going to make is going to be, or this meeting I'm going to go to, is already, for me, coming out of a survival energy. The closure of, well, at least I know, and now there's nothing to worry about. I know it's going to be terrible, so I don't have to worry about it
being terrible. I won't put any effort in.
I don't have to worry about it being terrible. it's already going to be terrible. And I think that shift, like you said, even with the self-talk, it's not, come on, pull your socks up. Although, you know, if you're ready for that, you'll know. But it's mostly that kind of come back, relax. You know, that they're just asking yourself, is this really true? You know, being there for yourself. And I think some of the big opportunities in that relaxation for me has been just little things like, you know, we hear loads about meditation. It's like an almost soft self-care side of things. The rest, sleep, I think patience, openness, you mentioned gratitude, a bit of silence, forgiveness, acceptance, awareness, ease in movement, just having open conversations, going out into nature, sensitivity in your body, all these amazing things are that kind of initial comeback. And out, once you sort of start that process, I think, of shifting energy, excitement starts guiding you when it can get in. It just can't get into that survival mechanism, because I know when I've been in a morning, you've seen me in a couple of states, more than a couple, after games or before games, when I'm clearly in survival mode, you know, whether it's the shame, guilt, you know, maybe afterwards in terms of like, oh, the game didn't go well, I feel so humiliated, embarrassed, or whatever, I've let people down, or the anger and frustration at myself and not getting things right, or the fear and the anxiety beforehand. And when you've tried to come in with the, let's have a really good joke, laugh at this, you've got nothing from me. I'm not interested.
Yeah. I mean, that period of time we're talking pre you being 21.
Yeah, well, we're talking pretty much.
Because after 21, I stopped trying to do the joking bit. After that, it was like, just give you some space, let yourself work it through your system. And then.
But then there is a time when it's right. But it's in that relaxation.
That's what I was going to, what I really think is important, is everything, however you feel, is right, but it just shouldn't be all the time.
Yeah.
So to draw a parallel to this, one of the things that I really believe in when you're coming up with like a training program for people is there has to be something in there that has a bit of intimidation about it. I think it's important that you take on something that scares you a little bit. So it's not a case of, yes.
Well, as long as it's aligned with your passion.
Yeah, but exactly. But, you know, I'm not like jumping out of cupboards and whacking people with sticks. But I mean, you know, if there's, you know what it's like to get on a Concept 2 rower and look at it and go, oh, someone set this for 2,000 meters. I know that this is going to be a rough time. Or this weight is right at the cusp of what I can do. It's in that zone of proximal development where you know you can do it, but it's right on the cusp. And that's what creates the stress around it. Now, you take that out of there. If you retreat back away from this and just do pure relaxation, but never put yourself in the crosshairs of genuine challenge and get out there and face things, you're also missing huge opportunities for growth and new experiences and amazing feelings and achievements and all the beautiful things that you can get from life. But it's striking a balance of the two.
Yeah.
But all the other things.
That's what I feel excitement and passion does for you though. Yeah. Even when you're on a holiday and you've had a bit of time away, you get the itch and the itch starts pushing you to do something a bit different, you know, challenge somehow, go and do something a bit new. Or if you're just sat there and you can feel that, I feel like that the infinite part of who we are won't sit, won't be happy. It's never satisfied with whatever you get. And sometimes when you're after filling that void, unfortunately, that means you're going to be filling that void forever. But when you're starting to fulfill that yourself, it's like the excitement of passion is saying, what am I here for? I think there's real direction in that excitement and passion and following it. When people follow excitement and passion, I think it becomes inspiring and it starts to make a difference. But when you're in that space of trying to be inspirational, when you're not feeling it and trying to, you know, be, I guess, the fun one when you're not feeling it, it's when it can actually almost create a little bit the opposite. So I think there's, for me, that's a large part of what I'm referring to in terms of that survivor to creator thing is we all kind of know what that survivor state feels like. And we kind of can see where it's going. There's no surprise in it. There's no revelation unless it's just more of the same and a bit more concrete, a bit more solid and a bit, maybe even a bit darker, a bit more suffocating, whatever it is. Certainly a bit less and less and less joy or connection or all the things we're after, creativity. But the other space into the creator place, we just haven't got a clue where that's going. And whatever you think it's going to be, it's way more. It's almost like the survivor state is like, well, we kind of know what that feels like. And when you go further down that path, it's like, I've got a good idea of where that could go. But the creator state is like, we don't know. It's a journey of constant expansion. And I do really feel like surprise. There is no way you know what's there. And that relationship to the unknown that we talk about, you mentioned the relationship with challenge, is the trigger that takes us into somewhere we haven't been. And that's why we kind of talk a lot there. So, you know, I don't know if that starts to paint a bit of a picture about, you know, where we sit on this podcast, or certainly where I sit. And I think also talking about the courage to go there, because I do feel when people move from that survivor to the creator, they're kind of shifting a bigger energy than just the one that's around them. And I think it's a courageous thing, and everyone has their story and their place they're in, and who knows what the hell anyone else is going through, what their survivor feels like. But the fact that, you know, the just the idea of relax in any moment can feel like the hardest thing to do. But yeah, if this can in any way sort of bring a bit more light on that journey for me, I'm in.
Yeah, I think it's just great to hear that different voices, different ideas, different approaches, different histories. You know, you can, I'm sure as we go through this, people towards the end of this series, if they've brave enough to stick with it, will see that the spectrum of guests, you know, you would not look at it on paper and go, these guys are going to have a lot in common. But every time we speak to people, it's just incredible. You've got so many different backstories, but there's always somewhere to go. You never feel that you're kind of reached the end of the line. Oh no, what's next? I'm feeling out of options. There's always something, which is such an inspiring and positive message that no matter what things are going on, you've always got someone there with you. And there's always somewhere to go.
Yeah, there is no end to this path for sure. In fact, there's no beginning. There's no anywhere. It's just pure adventure. And yeah, it feels good. All right, mate, splendid. Let's get on with the getting stuck into the next one, I guess. But so far, so good. Catch you soon. Anyone listening, please let us know what you're thinking of this, if it's resonating, what's coming up in you, any shifts you're experiencing in your life, any ways that you see this. You know, it's really, really powerful, and we'll be sure to check out your comments and try and get back to you as well.